This morning is, of course, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday where we celebrate this incredible truth of the love of God. It'll be our fourth meditation on this great story found in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, this encounter of Jesus with the woman at the well. This morning, I'm going to just tell you a story. It's not going to be very long, but I'm going to just tell you a story. And if you're the kind of person that doesn't really like stories, then you just need to know that woven in here, there's about 10 other scriptures that you can see in your mind. If you can pick them out and see what they were, if the stories bore you, then do that little biblical challenge for yourself and see how well you know your Bible. And so let's pray together. Almighty God, we sing these songs and we are amazed that there was this time divine when the Son took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. And we celebrate this event in a focused way at this time of the year. And this morning we consider what an act of love it is that the Son of God would come to dwell among us and encounter us and speak to us and love us. And so as we think about this, open up the eyes of our heart that we might know your love and that your love might flow through us over all whom we encounter. In Christ's name, amen. So we've spent the last 3 weeks or so gathered around a Samaritan well, the well of Jacob, near the town of Sychar. And we've encountered Jesus in many different ways. But on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love, I'd like to go to a different place for the beginning of our story. I'd like to take us up to the throne room of God. We'll end up back at the well, but let's begin in the throne room. You might remember when we started these meditations on John chapter 4, we spent a little bit of time looking at this first little bit of information in verse 4 that he had to go through Samaria. And we talked about how that's not a geographical truth. Most of the Jews went around it, but it was something else going on. And I want to suggest to you this morning that Jesus had to go through Samaria because of a love decision being taken in the throne room of heaven. So let's back away from the well. And let's, in fact, back away from the time where Jesus encountered this woman. And let's perhaps go back two, maybe three decades and enter into the courtroom of heaven. And there we see the King of Glory surrounded on his throne, and the trail of his robe fills the whole universe with his glory. And he's surrounded by the heavenly host, because great things are happening. Most of the eyes of the people in that host are focused upon Jesus, who perhaps at this time was a young child, maybe even a born. And the Father's eyes were focused there too. But because he's God, the Father can focus his eyes in many places. And the Father's eyes watched as a little girl was conceived and formed. And God is so delighted in this forming of this child that God gets in there, and somehow in the miracle of the processes that he's put in place, God himself takes claim for knitting together this young baby in her mother's womb. And the Father loved this child who was being formed. And so he wrote in his book the good things that he had desired for her even before anything had happened. After 9 months, the knitting was completed, and this little girl was born to the delight of her mother and her father and her grandchildren. And they all stood around this little child, amazed because this little baby was fearfully and wonderfully made. And God's love for this little child welled up in his home because he'd been involved since conception, and he knit it together. And now this love at her birth overwhelmed, and he beckoned over one of his angels. And in some mysterious way, which we don't understand, God the Father, who counted this babe as precious and loved her soul, assigned one of his angels, a ministering spirit, to walk this little girl through her childhood, because this angel would always be before the face of God. And somehow this ministering spirit, this messenger of angel, would communicate to this little girl in a way that she perhaps wouldn't recognize as God, God the Father's love for this child. And for the first number of years, it was just a story of delight. And God's heart swelled with joy as this little baby grew into a little girl and a toddler and a little one learning of the good things of God. But then the heart of the angel, and more importantly, the heart of God, began to grieve. Because as this baby he'd knit together grew into a woman, in a search for love, things somehow went awry. Who knows what happened? Who knows how a search for love degenerated into a search through the broken systems often by human beings that could not satisfy, and it degenerated into relationship after relationship, man after man after man, until five men had gone through her life, and now this last desperate grasping at love was not secured by the covenant of marriage, but was a tentative trial of a shack-up. And she sought out of the love that the Father was so desperate for her to know. And God's heart was heavy for this life-scarred woman who is still his child. Maybe it wasn't that way. Maybe it's my sexist attitude of the perspective of a virtuous woman corrupted by hormone-driven men. And maybe it was all wrong. Maybe she was, in fact, a manipulator. Maybe she was a power-seeking woman, a social climber who used these men cold-heartedly as she clawed her way to the top of power and wealth and luxury and power. Maybe it was that way. I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. But we do know that even if that was the way it went, the Father's heart would break just as much. And his love for this woman was not diminished. In either case, victim or victimizer, the Father's thought would be the same. This woman, this precious creation of mine, needs to meet my son. And the time was ripe. And so the Father turned his face towards the Spirit. And the Spirit, his heart was broken for this woman too, because he loved her just as much. And because the Spirit knows the heart of the Father, no words needed to be spoken. And the Spirit knew that the time was ripe. And just as he'd driven the Son into the wilderness to be tempted, now he drove the Son into Samaria. Now the Spirit whispered to the Son and said, you must go through that corrupted land. You must put yourself amongst these people whom the Jews hated and the Samaritans hated in return. You must go to this place and you must go to the well of Jacob. And Jesus stood up and he said to the disciples, we've got to go home. Things are kind of hot in Judea. We've got to go back to home in Galilee, but we must go through Samaria. And maybe Peter, I don't know if this happened, but I can just imagine because Peter is the guy he is. Maybe Peter stood up and said, what do you mean we have to go through Samaria? We don't have to go through Samaria. Every Jew knows that we can skirt around the border. We don't have to enter that unclean place. And Jesus would set his face as a flint and say, no, you don't understand. We have to go through Samaria. I must go, driven by the Spirit, to Jacob's well. And so off they set. And they found themselves at Jacob's well near the town of Sychar. And Jesus was hungry and thirsty and tired. And so he sat beside the well. And the disciples left trying to find some kind of kosher food in that place. And a woman began to walk up the path. And all of a sudden, all of the eyes of heaven were on this woman, not just the Father's eyes, because the eyes of heaven had been gazing upon Jesus. And now these two people are going to meet. And all of the focus of glory was upon this meeting. And Jesus saw this woman burdened down, walking towards him. But she wasn't burdened because she was carrying an empty jar to fetch water. She was burdened down because of the scars of life and this search for love in broken cistern after broken cistern. And the woman reached the well. And the Spirit said to the Son, "Now do as you have seen your father do, and love this child." And so the Son began his message of love. "Woman, will you give me a drink?" And reminiscent of Isaac and Jacob and Moses, who sought their wives at a well, the heavenly host gasped because they saw that the Son of God was asking this broken, scarred, love-lorn woman to be his bride. As Jesus asks each of us, life-scarred, broken down, to be his bride. You see, the woman at the well is ultimately a love story. But it's not just a love story which began that day at the Jacob's well between the son and the woman. It's a love story that began at this woman's conception, when God the Father gazed upon her and knit her together and wrote her life in his book and delighted in her and assigned an angel and walked with her and watched upon her as he went through life and the tragedy that she experienced, and the Spirit's heart was broken and made the Son go through Samaria that the Son might love her too. It's an incredible love story. I don't know all of your stories, but I know this, that a few years ago, some for a few more than others, the Father knit you together in your mother's womb. And he wrote in his book his heart's desire for you. And he counted you so precious that he assigned a ministering angel to you that would always appear before his face. And his heart swelled with laughter as you laughed, and his heart broke as you rebelled. And somewhere along the way, the Spirit, out of love for you, drove somebody, drove some Christian, drove some family member, drove somebody into your life to speak to you words of the Father so that you would encounter the living Christ. So that the host of heaven could gasp, because the Son of God asks each of us to be his bride, his beloved, his family. You know, when Ro does our community events, she'll often stand up here and invite us, you know, to make sure as we go about the place, usually at their home, to share and to speak about the glory and the love of God. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to have a community event, this Finger Food Festival. And I just wonder if maybe as we converse with each other, maybe you can reminisce a little bit about who it was that the Holy Spirit of God drove into your life so you could learn of Jesus and become the betrothed of God. Because it's a love story. And it's a love story that should be told. Let's pray. God our Father, it's tempting for me, you know, we think about Jesus loving us and so on, but sometimes we forget that you, our Father, loved us. And Spirit, we forget that you, the Spirit of God who dwells within us, loves us. And Jesus, we remember and celebrate that you love us. And we thank you for that. That your eyes have been upon each one of us through our life. And that you have acted on our behalf. You've come to encounter us and betroth us to yourself. we're amazed. Holy Spirit, I pray that this Christmas season we would be given opportunity to speak to others about how you brought us to yourself, how you watched over us from conception to now, that you might be given all of the glory and all of the praise and all of the honor through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.